I often look at that now as that fixes problems, but it does not solve problems. If you focus on the important items, those are the ones that are actually going to solve for foundation.
That's Jessica Mogul, seasoned business leader, head of coaching strategy at Crisp, and my right hand for over the past 10 years.
If you yourself are not an organized person, learn how to get organized. Find a system that works for you.
I'm Michael Mogul, founder and CEO of Crisp, the nation's number one law firm growth company. I've built my business through practice, not theory. Crisp started with just $500 to my name and has grown to over eight figures in revenue over the last few years, earning a spot on the Inc. 500 list of the fastest growing private companies in America. Our approach has been to take everything we've learned about generating massive growth within our own organization and help the country's most ambitious and committed law firm owners do the same for theirs. In each episode of this podcast, I sit down with innovative market leaders from the legal industry and beyond to learn from those who thrive in the face of adversity, challenge the status quo, and define what it means to be a true game changer. Today, we're flipping the script for a special edition episode to get Jessica's take on the difference between urgent issues and truly important priorities, how to master consistent world-class client experiences, and how to empower your team to take action and achieve results.
It's one thing to have the system, but it's then also enforcing said system. A lot of times people think the legwork is in creating the process. Oh, great, we have a process now. That's like maybe half the work, because now you have to make sure said process happens, and that's putting in checks and balances, and that's putting in auditing.
That's coming up on the Game Changing Attorney Podcast. What's up, guys? It's Michael. We are back on the podcast. We got a special edition episode here. Don't get many of these, but these have been quite popular. You know, we've got the AMMA's Ask Michael Mogul Anything, but we're turning the table. We've got the AJMA, Ask Jessica Mogul Anything. So I know you guys submit your questions. Sometimes these questions are so wild, I think I don't even know what I'm going to do. Jessica, why don't you answer them? Because they're much, much more intelligent than I am. When you do have a question, you can submit it at 404-531-7691. We might answer it on the podcast. Could be me, or if you're lucky, could be Jessica. This is going to be a lot of fun. I know these questions, Jessica. This is like one of those rare times where I am doing the questioning.
I feel like this is going to be one of those times where if it's a Jessica topic in meetings often, this is when you pull out your beef jerky and you just start eating beef jerky and tune out.
That's
so
right.
I hope you don't do that today.
I just look up at the sky and say, well,
they've lost me.
This isn't my thing. So let's somebody else speak. So could be. All right. The theme of this one is the importance of processes. So that makes sense. That is why, you know, anytime anyone mentions that word, I'm like, okay, cool. What do you guys think in operations? Which is a lesson in and of itself. So let's...
Wasn't always that way.
That is true. It was. There was a point of just pain and frustration where I couldn't figure this out of why I was doing everything myself. Didn't have any help, didn't have any support, thought I had to be the one to figure it all out, thought I had to be the one to write the processes and the SOPs and develop the KPIs. And I was like, look, there just aren't enough hours in the day. You know, created a tremendous amount of stress and anxiety of how we're going to grow. And then I learned, because of the abridged version of the story, that there are people in this world that love the things that you hate to do. You may be the type of person that loves the things that other people hate to do. And if you can bring in those compliments into your organization, well, everybody can be playing to their strengths. This is why quarterbacks don't kick field goals, or why running backs don't throw footballs, right?
There you go.
I don't know why I made that football analogy, but the point is you got to play to your strengths. I'm not a big fan of like developing weaknesses. I think you gain much more leverage through developing strengths.
Absolutely.
And don't follow your passion. I think that's a silly statement. You want to make sure that whatever you follow is a strength. And as that strength evolves and improves, the market finds it valuable, meaning that someone's willing to compensate you for it. As it turns out it might become your passion. So don't pick any type of career that you would pick when you're 3, 4, or 5 years old, pretty much.
Okay, noted.
That's a podcast for another day. So let's get to it, Jessica. Question number one. My firm has ambitious growth goals, but we often find ourselves overwhelmed by the sheer volume of tasks and projects. How can we streamline our workflow and focus our efforts on high-impact activities to drive sustainable growth?
This is different depending on where you are. Are you a million? Are you 5 million? Are you 50 million? But I think in first summary for this even is urgent versus important. And we battled this for so long when it was just the two of us, but it was like, everything was on one of us. And it's very much nature to say, this is urgent, this is urgent, this is urgent. I often look at that now as that fixes problems, but it does not solve problems. If you focus on the important items, those are the ones that are actually going to solve for foundation. So for example, my task list, I need to respond to emails. I need to have a meeting. I need to draft blah, blah, blah. I need to make a hire. Which one of those is actually going to change my life? You know, because I think we've talked about this before, but you can get so busy just checking off your to-do list that doesn't actually move the business forward. But back to even the organization of said things, this is a place you and I get extremely frustrated. First and foremost, are people taking notes? There are meetings upon meetings where we're like, all right, who wrote that down? What happened? And now we officially have a designated note taker in every single meeting capturing action items, because it will frustrate both of us beyond belief if it's like, oh yeah, and then the next meeting, not done, forgot about it, whatever that may be. And so truly having someone own action items and moving those things forward, and then finding what system works best for you. It could be notes in your phone. It could be Evernote. It could be an app we call, it's called Todoist. We use ClickUp for project management, and having a place to actually store those items, because I promise you, you will not remember them. That's the biggest mistake, is I think people are like, oh yeah, they're there. And it's like, no, compile those things, add structure to them. The other thing about actually getting things done, if it is not on my calendar, it will not happen. So Slack often gets bombarded with 5 million things. And it's like, hey, I need you to review these candidates. Can you review this process? Have you looked at this platform? I don't have quick Slacks that are like, hey, are you here today? Yes, I have Slacks that actually require like thinking time and review time. And if I don't specifically put time on my calendar to get those done, they will not get done.
I remember years ago, we were interviewing for operational roles, and this one lady came in. We would ask people, like, how do you stay organized? How do you keep track of everything? And she said, post-it notes.
Yep, she sure did.
Post-it notes. And I'm thinking, how many post-it notes?
There's not enough post-its.
Like, until you're covered in them, and then, like, how do you keep track of the post-it notes?
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I will say about post-it notes, not post-it notes, but colors, color coding. I do love color coding the calendar. I love blocking things that way, to each his or her own, but no, post-it notes would never cut it here. I think it's safe to say she did not get hired.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there could be a case for putting a post-it note that says, believe in yourself, on your computer monitor.
Yes.
But if you're using that as, how do I keep track of all my tasks? Well, chances are you're going to get to a point where you have too many tasks, and it's just perhaps not even a sophisticated enough system. But sometimes, I mean, for me, I sometimes keep things simple and say, what are the top three things I need to accomplish this week? Top three things I need to accomplish today? Top three things I need to accomplish this quarter, right? I'm looking at them constantly so that when I get an impulse of like, should I do this? Look at that, you know, that top three and say, is it one of these three? If it's not, the answer is no.
Correct.
Any other thoughts on this, Jessica?
If you yourself are not an organized person, whether it's self-proclaimed or whatever that might be, one, learn how to get organized. If you don't have it in the means right now to hire someone, find a system that works for you. Our systems even are very different. Secondly, if it's not your strength and you have the ability, hire someone with that. Just hire someone that it comes naturally to them.
Yeah. I'd say less about task management and more about priority management.
Yes.
So like meeting that, like in this case, this individual is saying they're overwhelmed by the sheer volume of tasks and projects. You got a lot of tasks and projects. Okay. But if you were to simplify everything and say, look, we work this many days a week. We're in for this amount of time. We're going to determine here is how much time we can spend. Every task is going to take this length of time. Kind of work backwards and say, well, what happens first? What are the priorities? What's going to be high priority? And the high priority typically is what's going to make the greatest impact. As a leader, you look at, well, how can I exercise the greatest amount of leverage, right? Leverage is the difference between what you put in and what you get out. So meaning that if I can cast the vision for what this needs to be and outline all the success criteria and meet with all the people that are involved and define clear accountabilities, now I can go away and then they can get to work. That might be, okay, let me do this first so I'm not a bottleneck later on this project.
Oh, yeah. And another thing even, I mean, I could talk about organization forever, but sometimes people like just hoard them and it's like, I made a note here and here and here and then 500 different places. And this is actually where I bring a lot of value is just clarity. And I will literally dump everything on the whiteboard. And it's like, okay, well, let's bucket these. Let's at least make categories. Okay, this one is around sales. This one is around intake, whatever that might be. I remember one of your first assistants, I sat with her every single day for probably 60 days. And we went through everything. And it was just like learning the process of a top three, learning the most important items over and over. So you have to grow that muscle.
I like it. I like talking about muscles.
I know,
so,
you do.
Speaking of which, I got this little protein shake down here, but we said no advertising on the podcast, so I can't even talk about which one it is. All right, question number two. My firm prides itself on delivering exceptional client service, but lately we've noticed inconsistencies in our communication and follow-up protocols. How can we standardize our client interactions and ensure that every client receives the same level of care and attention?
I'm going to take you back to a time, my very first week at Crisp.
Yes. May.
When we only did video and there was no process. And so it was like, oh, we filmed a video. Maybe the client responded. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just put it on their website themselves. We don't even know what's happening to any of those things. And so I was like, how is this possibly repeatable? How do we actually do this? And so first, documenting said process and determining what the timelines are, the parameters around that. Using automations as much as possible. So like I said, we use ClickUp for project management. There's a million platforms out there to do that. It makes it repeatable. You can't miss the task. And so putting in reinforcement behind that, I was even talking about this the other day when we just had project management. Like if it was not in our project management system and it was not documented there, it never happened in my eyes. So it's one thing to have the system, but it's then also enforcing said system. A lot of times people think the legwork is in creating the process. They're like, oh, great, we have a process now. That's like maybe half the work because now you have to make sure said process happens. And that's putting in checks and balances and that's putting in auditing. And I remember when I used to go through like roster reviews with every single project manager, we go through every single client every single day until it was like, you can tell me exactly where they are, what's happening. And it's conditioning that. Or if they said, oh, I reached out and I haven't heard back. And I was like, great, show me that last email. And making sure that you're actually inspecting the things rather than just setting up the framework.
So internally, we call these roster reviews and they happen at all sorts of different departments. So for example, the client success team, there's roster reviews that take place where we're reviewing every single active client and the status of what's going on with their engagement with us, the project, the campaign, last activity date, sentiment, et cetera. On the sales team, reviewing the pipeline every single week. What's the status of this opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity, this opportunity, et cetera. I mean, this is across the board. Like, what's another department we do this in?
Coaching.
Yes. That's right.
Anywhere there's a roster. I mean, anywhere there's even just task management and reviewing that. And I think one place that you are really great and it's really rubbed off on me is like, I never assume malicious intent. I never assume that someone by ill will was like, I'm not reaching out to that client. It's just that accountability and it's having that layer there of, again, inspecting it, holding it, pushing it forward. And it's just reinforcing those positive habits.
I remember at a workshop, one of our firm owners asked me, this is like a $40 million law firm. And they're like, well, what about just reviewing like just case pipeline and like all active cases? I mean, we got thousands. Do you suggest we review every single one? Yes. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's you doing it. Maybe you've got senior attorneys, maybe you've got, you know, a practice manager, but yes, you should review the status of every single case on a certain cadence. Maybe it happens weekly, maybe it happens biweekly, maybe it happens monthly. I mean, what works best for your firm is going to vary.
Right.
That being said, absolutely. People respect what you inspect. We're not doing these things to waste people's time. In fact, the people in these meetings find it helpful because now there's a level of like collaboration. Like you've got, you know, let's say a department or a team that's there, like they can see, hey, well, how did you handle this situation or how are you approaching this? And like, it just gives people greater insight into what's going on, but it also ensures that things don't fall through the cracks because it's very easy for those little crumbs to fall through the cracks. And then what happens typically is that when something falls through the cracks, you get either a nasty email or a nasty phone call that someone is pissed because either they haven't heard from you, there's been, you know, a lapse in communication or something, and now you're pissed. And now you're pissed at somebody else. And you ask this team member who obviously hasn't, you know, spoken with this client or, you know, whoever it is, you're like, how could you? And they're like, oh man, I forgot. See, there, you were relying on them to remember something. That's not their fault.
It's rule number one. I can't, got to document it. Yep.
That's not their fault. You are the business owner. Not your team's fault. Not the president's fault. Not the economy's fault. It is on you. You decided to start this business. You are the captain of the ship, and you are responsible for ensuring that everything gets done. So when something does not get done, somebody forgets.
Yep.
Well, why are we relying on memory in this organization? People have terrible memory.
Yes.
Some have, I mean, people have varying memory. If nothing else, like some have good memory, some have poor memory. It's like, why would I rely on someone having to remember to do things in order for things to get done?
Correct.
That seems like a silly system that over time, as an organization scales, would break down.
Back to roster reviews. I know we were just there. Even recruiting, you go through that pipeline the same way. So I think sometimes people are like, it doesn't translate. It translates literally to any department of just, again, inspecting so that it gets the respect and the attention that it needs.
And by the way, we're not perfect either.
Oh, no.
But I will tell you that since we started doing these, it's been years now, we catch things early. That's what you're trying to do. It's not to say that you're going to avoid all problems altogether, but now you catch them early when they're at stage one, right? Before they've just become this massive, massive mountain of a problem, before it's become Everest. You catch it early. And when you catch things early, it's easy to take care of them.
Yes.
You don't want to build and build and build, and you don't want to be surprised. I'm not a fan of surprises.
Another thing is just auditing. Listen to your phone calls. Listen to what's happening. Call your own law firm. If you say, hey, I'm exceptional and we have amazing client experience, great. Go listen to a phone call recently. Go sit in on a meeting. See what's actually happening.
Sometimes you may not know what you think you know. The scariest portion of this is always the you don't know what you don't know. Can you imagine all the things you don't know that you don't even know? There's things that obviously you know. And then there's things that you know that you don't know. But what about the things that you don't even know that you don't know? It should keep you up at night.
Yes.
Can you imagine? So let's get to question number three. I know that I'm a visionary CEO like Michael. I have lots of great ideas and can see the big picture, but dread the details and operations. How can I empower my team to get things done?
Just find a way. At the end of the day, I will never forget, what we're just going all the way back on CRISP, all the early days when there were no processes, when there was nothing, and you took every single phone call, every inbound, every aspect of sales. And I was like, Michael, you cannot do this. And also, what's going to happen when you hire a salesperson? Like, there is no process, there is nothing. And so what I do, I listen to call after call after call. And I was like, oh, it's kind of following a cadence. It's following a cadence. I said, great. I have your process here. When you hire the next person, we'll transfer the 1-800 number and they'll be able to follow this process. And you looked me dead in the face and you were serious. And you said, we're actually going to transfer the number to you and you're going to test your own process. And I said, oh, okay. but that's how I learned. It's the standard. That is just what it is. And, you know, obviously we have a different dynamic, but one would also say you're much harder on me than anyone else. But it's finding those people who, again, you've said it before, just because you hate something, someone else out there loves that. And it's finding that compliment for you to be able to do that as well.
Let's say you are a visionary.
I know you hate that word.
I hate that word. But because everybody thinks they're Walt Disney. That being said, let's say you do have a lot of great ideas. A lot of us have great ideas or what we think are great ideas. So how much do you want for your idea? Your value is going to be in your ability to execute and get things done. That being said, on that note, what you can do as a leader is have clarity over what it is you would like to get done. Setting clear expectations, what? And then providing context of like, why are we doing this? You're setting the what and the why. It does not mean you always have to concern yourself with how it's going to get done if you set clear expectations around what it is that needs to get done. Exactly. Here's what it looks like when it's finished. Here's exactly why we're doing it. So somebody understands. Imagine you just assign something to someone and then without context, they don't know the why. They can come to their own, you know, maybe they have their own ideas as to why, which you never really want somebody to have. You'd rather just tell them exactly why. The how, I think, really comes down to having the people that have that complementary skill set, they figure out the how. They come in with the batteries included. They have the skills and the capability to do the things that need to be done. For example, we've got our data team. And we could say, here's the type of reporting that we would like to see. Here's the type of data we want to get back. Here's the cadence we want to see it. But I'm not telling them how to set up the Salesforce objects or any coding that's necessary or the integrations themselves. It's like, look, man, I don't care. Just like figure this out, right? But here's exactly what we need, right? And it's not even that I don't care. I don't even know how you're going to do it.
I think the biggest thing there, though, is the clarity is kindness. and setting up clear expectations at the beginning and agreed upon expectations. That's where I think some people make a mistake as well, is they just hand it off and the person's like, they got it, but they didn't really accept it. And so making sure that you're on the same page with that. But also, if this person is said visionary with all of these ideas and ideas and ideas, having that person also be a person that will challenge you. Because I think that is where operationally we've done really well, is not having a yes man or yes woman, because that is also how you even get back to number one. And it's like, there's a million things going on. I can't keep track of all of them. I can't prioritize. And so it's like, we tell you a lot of times, no, if you really want it, then we say, well, then what's going to come off? Now I can go figure out how, but not saying yes to everything as well.
Sometimes that why is powerful enough, it can override just about anything. So meaning that sometimes you're assigning a task to someone, like I'll give another data example, and I wanted us to be able to see some sort of data and reporting that we were presently not seeing. And they said, well, this platform that we are using that is this integration with Salesforce does not allow us to report back on this data. So then I gave the why of why this is so important, that it allows our organization to be more competitive, get greater insights, provide more value to our clients. It allows us to hit our targets and growth goals, et cetera. Well, now with that why, we are figuring it out, which may include moving to a new platform, which may include some custom coding. Without the context, someone might look at that and say, well, this platform can't do it. Wait, we're not going to be limited by our platforms here at Crisp. It's like, look, what, some nerd in Silicon Valley determined here are the limitations and here's exactly what we can do in terms of data that we can see and reporting that we can gather? I'm just kidding. I'm a nerd, right? My point is that these are all like man-made limitations. It's no different than you driving in a parking garage, you see the arrows and say, go this way. It's like, look, somebody painted those arrows.
Made those rules.
They put a stop sign there, okay, before it used to not exist, before there wasn't even a road there. So it's man-made.
Meaning you can make a new one.
Sometimes you got to make some new rules, right? Maybe this is a zombie apocalypse. Are you going to like follow all the stop signs? Are you trying to get out of the city? I don't think so.
It's so, like Big Hero 6. That was a nice reference.
What's that?
Big Hero 6. They're like trying to run from monsters, from the bad guy, and this guy's like stopping at every single stop sign, and they're like, are you really going to stop at all these stop signs? We're trying to escape right now.
Because that was the rule follower, right? They like had this one guy, like this one character who was like, you paints in between the lines and just is like, guys, what's the plan? Sometimes you as the leader, if you really are the so-called visionary, if you look back and if you really are that Walt Disney, do you think they just let Walt do what he did? You think they're just like, yeah, Walt, like whatever you want. We're going to give you infinite funding and infinite capital. We're going to let you build this park, this amusement park with all these characters that you created, all this IP around. We're just going to let you do it, Walt. No. If you want to get anything done, anything that's of significance, well, you got to have a big vision and you got to have clearly set, here's what it looks like when it's finished, like clearly defining exactly what it looks like. And then you got to have a strong why behind it. And if you got a strong enough why, like, whoo, anything is possible. Anyhow can get done.
Yeah. And I think it's also knowing what are you actually serious about. I coached a client once and we reference a lot of the assessments that we use, and Colby being one of those. And he is all ideas, like idea, idea, idea. But his team was so literal and such rule followers. They were like, I got to take every single one of these. And they were just like running behind trying to get all of these done. And like 3 days later, he'd be like, what are you talking about? So they actually set up a process where he just had a whiteboard. He dumped all of his ideas there. As the week went on, and then weekly would review and be like, I wasn't serious about that one. This one I am serious about. So again, finding your why, knowing what you're actually serious about and committing to.
That is the AJMA. We'll be back next time. Hopefully, Jessica, more questions for you, because I like this. I can just get to sit here. I ask the questions. You get to answer them. Easy day. See you guys
next time.
I'm going to give a huge thank you to Jessica for taking the time to speak with us today on the Game Changing Attorney Podcast. If you found this episode valuable, here are three free ways that I can help you grow your law firm. Number one, download the first chapter of my book absolutely free at gamechangingattorney.com. Number two, you can shoot me a text at 404-531-7691 and I'll answer any question that you've got for me. And finally, number three, if you can leave this podcast a 5-star review, it'll help us gain access to more influential thought leaders and bring their lessons learned here to you. For more information, see the show notes for this episode in your podcast app or visit legalpodcast.com.